movie Monday. The students are watching a movie here on Monday nights. That is not happening tomorrow because of the holiday. However, they will still have a youth service on Wednesday night. Even though TJ is gone, I believe, Lee, you speaking? Yep. Lee Neesmith is speaking in youth on Wednesday night, so I hope you will be here and bring your students with you if they did not go on the mission trip. The youth service is still happening Wednesday evening. Also, this coming Friday night, July the 8th, is a 20-something fellowship. This is for anybody that's sort of late teens and throughout your 20s, whether you're married, you're single, dating, whatever it is, wherever you are on the spectrum, you are invited to come to this. It's going to be at the Neesmith's house. They have a pool. There will be food, drinks provided, all that good stuff. So everything's free, which is important to 20-somethings, as I have one that has recently graduated from high school. Free is really, really good. So I hope that you will come and be part of that. And for more information, you can contact Lee and get some more stuff on that. But that is this coming Friday night, July the 8th. It started last week, but I want to continue to promote it. My dad was here last week and three more Wednesdays. We'll be doing a four-part series on the Holy Spirit. We had a ton of people here on Wednesday. I was thrilled with the response, and I hope that you will continue to come. He's going to be here three more Sundays, and I'm excited about it. I think it was the teaching was fantastic, and I know that you will be blessed and encouraged. So please make plans to be here the next three Wednesday nights. Bring somebody with you, but that is happening throughout the month of July. The next three Wednesdays is this series that my dad is doing on the Holy Spirit. So I hope that you will be here and be part of that. Finally, I want to make you aware of something that the Restoration Women's Ministry is doing. They're starting a monthly coffee night. That is going to be happening on the second Tuesday evening of every month. So the first meeting ever will be this month. It will be July the 12th. It's going to be over at the Starbucks in Loganville. This is simply a way for the women to kind of connect with each other. As more people come to Restoration, as we continue to grow, it becomes difficult on Sunday morning to meet everybody, to get to know everybody. So this is a way for you to connect better with people you already know. It's a way for you to meet new people that you don't know. So the women are going to be doing this the second Tuesday of every month. It's going to be in different locations, but the first one will be at the Starbucks in Loganville on July the 12th. So ladies, I hope you'll come out and enjoy coffee night that they will be doing there. And for more details, you can talk to Amanda, or you can talk to my wife, Courtney, whoever you want. There are other announcements in the bulletin you can get on your way out after the service. We receive the offering slightly differently here at Restoration Church. There are a number of ways for you to give electronically. Also, you can drop your offering envelope in the offering boxes that are on the wall following the service. So we do that at the end, but I always like to take a moment to talk about receiving the offering right now. There are so many things that happen here at Restoration Church that could not happen without your generosity. I think of the mission trip that's happening right now. The kids are on their way to Washington, D.C. He's driving to Washington, D.C. I told DJ, I was like, wow, okay, good for you. So he's driving with, I don't know, 13 teenagers in a van to Washington, D.C. So they're doing that now. So hopefully you'll pray for safety and all kinds of things that go along with taking a mission trip that far with kids. There's our kids ministry. There's our nursery. There's outreach. There's all the things that this church does, all the things that we do people in this community around the world, and I just want to say thank you, and I hope that you will continue in your faithfulness and your generosity. We are not a church that is looking insular. We are not a church that's refusing to branch out. I don't want to pastor a church that doesn't want to help, that doesn't want to go, that doesn't want to do, that doesn't want to make stuff happen. I want to be part of something greater than myself, and the way that we do that is through your generosity and your faithfulness, and I am appreciative of that. And I do not take it for granted. So for all that you do for this church, I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, we praise you, we worship you. God, I ask that you would bless both gift and giver this morning. God, we thank you for the opportunity to give into your kingdom. As we just prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done. God, we thank you for the opportunity to give into your kingdom. God, give us, all of us here at Restoration, the opportunity to do more. Give us the opportunity to do more ministry, to help others, to be a blessing. God, give us, put people in our lives that we can help, that we can minister to. God, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you. We glorify your name. Thank you for all your many blessings. Help us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. We are continuing with a series entitled Thin Places. For those of you that haven't been with us, or maybe this is your first time back with this series, basically what we've been looking at is places in the Bible where the membrane between the natural and the supernatural gets spread thin. The reason we have those doors on stage, as I've said, is it feels like there are places that we've read in the Bible, these thin places where you can just open the door and step into the eternal, step into the supernatural. So these thin places are places where the membrane has been is thin, and the separation between heaven and earth comes close together. And that's what we wanted to look at. And at the end of every service, we wanted to take a time and have a little opportunity to create a thin place, which we're going to do. We've looked at these throughout the Old and New Testament. This morning, we want to look at the thin place of holiness. We want to look this morning at the thin place of holiness. Turn, if you will, to Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read a passage from Exodus and then back to the New Testament. But we're going to stay with the story in Exodus chapter 3. This is going to be familiar to most of you. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Just to bring you up to speed, Moses was raised in the Pharaoh's household. He was raised in the royal house, but he was not of the house of Pharaoh. He was a Hebrew. He was a Jew. And his identity was eventually revealed. And then trying to protect his Jewish friends and family, he killed an Egyptian and he was banished from Egypt. And now he's in the desert, away from Egypt, away from friends, away from family. And he probably thinks, God has no use for me anymore. God has no use for me or my life, my ministry. I'm going to live and die on the backside of the desert as a shepherd. And that's where this story happens. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? Verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then God said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Keep your finger there in Exodus, and I want you to turn to the New Testament to 1 Peter. It'll come up on the screen as well. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Peter 1 and 15. Peter is writing and he says this to all of us. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. Look again at verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Let's pray. God, I ask in the next few moments that you will speak to us about this vital issue of holiness. God, we long to hear from you this morning. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The questions that people ask often reveal the things that they are struggling with. That's one of the things that I hated about high school. College, it's not like that. College encourages a question and answer time where you interact with your professors. But high school, for the most part, does not. Don't you? How many of you remember high school or are in high school or currently left high school, but you remember when you would raise your hand? The most infuriating thing a teacher would say to me is, no questions. I wanted to say, what are we paying you to do if I can't ask a question? I'm a student. I don't understand this. How can you not take questions? It seems like the only thing a teacher should do is take questions. Does anybody have any questions? Does anybody not understand? Because why? Because I'm getting paid to teach you this. I wish that's the most frustrating thing. No questions. No questions. Why not? Because the deal is, if one person has that question, there's probably numerous people that have that same question and either don't want to raise their hand or they're too embarrassed to raise their hand, whatever it is. So often, the question that one person asks reveals the stuff that everybody in the class is struggling with. Now, We've just read this interaction between Moses and God at the burning bush, and he says, take off your sandals, this place is holy. And then we've read from the New Testament, Peter saying, God is holy. Be like God in his holiness. So, what can we learn from the thin place of holiness? What can we learn from this moment? And I think that what we learn is revealed by the questions that are asked in this passage. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to look at the different questions because they actually reveal to us the essence of holiness. They reveal to us what's happening. So I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. We're not going to read it, but basically God has said, look, I've seen the oppression of my people. I've seen that the children of Israel are in slavery in Egypt, and I'm going to give them freedom. They're no longer going to be in slavery. They're no longer going to be oppressed. And I'm going to take them and lead them into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses is thinking, man, this is a great idea, God. What a good idea. This is awesome. So I'm so glad that you thought of this. And then God says this, Exodus 3 and 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, here's the first one, who am I? But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So God said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So the first question is this. Who am I? Who am I? This is the thing that so many of us struggle with when it comes to the issue of holiness. When it comes to the issue of being holy. We read these things in 1 Peter. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Peter is quoting from the Old Testament. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so many of us put the emphasis, the impetus on ourselves. We say, how can we be holy? We put the responsibility on ourselves. God says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And so we say, well, how can I be more holy? What can I do? Who am I? What are the things, what are the hoops I can jump through? What are the stuff I can do? What's the things I can be about? Who am I? And that is not what God is saying at all. If we understand holiness as flowing out of our own actions, we miss the point of holiness altogether. Holiness is not about who you are, what we can do. It does not flow out of our talents or our past. Holiness flows out of God. This is the wonderful thing about holiness. Look at what he says again in verse 11. And Moses says to God, who am I? I'll skip down to verse 12. God said, his answer to who am I is, I will certainly be with you. I will certainly be with you. I will certainly be with you. I want you to remember that the next time you are trying to make yourself more holy. Because what happens is it becomes like a subtle works righteousness where we decide that we can do enough good stuff to make ourselves holy. We don't believe, if maybe you grew up in the Catholic Church, you're familiar with the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church of a long time ago, where years and years before like Martin Luther and the Reformation, the Catholic Church sold indulgences. So if you did enough stuff, you would guarantee your way into heaven. If you bought enough relics, if you prayed enough prayers, you could do enough stuff to guarantee that you got into heaven. Now, the Catholic Church doesn't believe that anymore, but so many of us still struggle with that. We don't actually believe that if you come up here and I don't know, okay, I tell you, all right, you sit in every chair in this sanctuary and pray while you're sitting in every single chair in this sanctuary, and I promise you'll go to heaven. Okay, all of you would leave the church by next week, because that's crazy, right? That's crazy. If I say, okay, all you have to do is sit in every single chair, 360-something chairs, 350 chairs, you sit in each chair for 5 minutes at a time, you pray a prayer for all 5 minutes, you move to the next chair, and if you cover, sit your butt in every single seat while you're praying, everybody gets to go to heaven. I don't know, you would probably leave, but I'd probably attract a lot of crackpots that are looking for an easy way to get into heaven. And they go, hey, if I sit in every chair at this church, I'm going to go to heaven, right? That, we understand that. That doesn't come on. Nobody does that. That's works righteousness. Everybody gets that. What happens is the much more subtler version of works righteousness. When we don't say that, but what we say is, I need to do better. I need to do better. But deep down inside, we know we cannot make ourselves holier. Deep down inside, we know we can't make ourselves holier. So what we do is we serve more. We stay super busy. And we work in the nursery, and then we go with Pastor Chris on the outreach, and then the next Sunday we're in kids, and then the next Sunday we volunteer to work in the sound booth, and we're busy, and we're going, and we're doing, and we put a little bit more in the offering, and we say, man, I am making myself more holy. And that's not how it works at all. It is not about who we are. Who am I? And God says it doesn't matter who you are. The only thing that matters, I will certainly be with you. I will certainly be with you. That's the only thing that matters. If holiness cannot spring out of who we are, holiness comes from the outside in. We cannot manufacture holiness inside of us. We cannot give, we cannot do, we cannot be enough. It's not about who we are. It is about Christ in us. It's about God with us. I will be with you. So the answer, who am I, is wonderfully and beautifully answered by this. Who are you? Doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is Christ in you. Not who you are, but who is Christ in you. We cannot manufacture holiness from the inside out. We cannot manufacture it with our actions. It comes from God's presence inside of us. We can't do it ourselves. Now look, if you will, at the next thing. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Exodus 3 and 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I have come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. God said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. The next question is this. What is his name? What is his name? Moses struggled first with how can I make myself more holy? And God said, you can't make yourself more holy. I will be with you. And I will do holiness inside of you. The next thing that Moses asked is, what is his name? What is your name? What is the name of God? What is he asking there? Tell me about your character. Tell me about your essence. Describe yourself to me. Who are you? Who are you? And think of all the names that God could have used. We know them. We've heard them. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Yahweh. We've heard these El Shaddai. We've heard all the Jewish names. It is fascinating to me that in this moment, Moses says, what is your name? Describe yourself to me. And God says, I am who I am. I am who I am. This speaks to the very nature and character of God, that he is holy. The idea of holiness means that it lacks nothing. You cannot add anything to it or take anything away from it to be more holy. God lacks nothing. He needs nothing. He is who he is. I am who I am. That's the wonderful nature of the holiness of God. I am who I am. He is everything we need him to be. Imagine that we had a machine. We could calibrate this machine and it would draw a perfect circle. Perfect circle. Perfectly round. Every edge, every side was directly the same distance. The diameter was the same. The circumference was the same. The beginning and the end, the lines met. You couldn't tell where it started and where it ended. It was a perfect circle. That's the idea of holiness. It's lacking nothing. If you made the circle slightly bigger, it would no longer be holy because it would have a little bump. If you erased it, erased the part, and then tried to draw the line back in, it would no longer be holy. Because it lacked something. You understand, it's a perfect circle. That's the idea of the holiness of God. I am who I am means that he does not need anything to make himself beholden, and he does not need to take anything away from him. He is perfect in his holiness. That is great news for all of us. Because imagine, I was thinking about this in preparation. I watch a fair amount of movies, and in particular, I watch a lot of superhero movies, comic book movies, about whatever, Iron Man, Hulk, Spider-Man, all of those, okay? We all know the comic books, right? All right, everybody knows those. You know what I like about the movies is it's a standalone. You just watch the movie and you go, hey, that superhero is really cool, and then you turn the movie off and it's over. You know what my frustration with comic books are? I'm not a comic book guy, I don't read them, I don't buy them. Wonder why? Because it's never, it's always changing. It's never the same. They have to invent new origin stories, and then Superman dies. How can Superman die? Right? And then he comes back to life, but he's different the next time. And then he dies again. How many times can you kill Superman? That seems to be different from his nature. Right? So he dies again, and he's different. And then you have to keep up, and the reason is why. They want you to keep buying comic books. If Superman never changed, then nobody would keep buying comic books. But you have to buy it to see what Superman changes. And Spider-Man does this, and Batman does that. And it changes every single time. And so that is how they continue to create interest. Let me give you another example. When I was a little kid, I loved professional wrestling. I don't mean like, I mean loved. And this was back when it was still the WWF, before they had to change their name for some reason. So now they're WWE, but I love professional wrestling. Don't act like you don't love professional wrestling, okay? We all live in Georgia. We love professional wrestling, okay? It's not from like, you know, New York or someplace. We love professional wrestling. And I loved Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Rowdy Roddy Piper. I can name them all. Junkyard Dog, oh, the Ultimate Warrior. Remember when that guy came with the little bands on his arms? Don't act like you don't know who the Ultimate Warrior is. I've been in a bunch of y'all's houses. You know who professional wrestling is. All right? I loved professional wrestling when I was a little kid. I don't follow it like I used to, but I loved professional wrestling. And I remember in the late 90s, there's two types of wrestlers, for those of you who don't know. Good guys are called babyface. Bad guys are called heels. All right? So if you're a good wrestler, you call a babyface. If you're a bad wrestler, you call a heel. Do you remember in the late 90s when Hulk Hogan went from being the ultimate good guy to being the ultimate bad guy? Remember that? He came out, he was all dressed in black. He had like the black beard on. I was like, what is happening? Right? Because your paradigm is completely destroyed because you're like, Hulk Hogan's a bad guy? I don't even understand how the world works anymore. If Hulk Hogan's a bad guy, I'm done with the whole thing. And you didn't understand because he'd gone from being a good guy to being a bad guy. Listen to me. That is the exact opposite of who God is. Can God do anything? This question is vitally important to your understanding of the holiness of God. Can God do anything? And the answer is no. God cannot do anything. He cannot lie. He cannot sin. He cannot quit being God. He cannot change his essence and his very DNA. That's great news for you because imagine if God was as changeable as Hulk Hogan. And so one day he wakes up and he decides that he hates all of us. And God has made it a turn and now God's a heel. We thought God was a baby face, but now God's a heel and he's going to kill all of us. Imagine how terrifying that would be. You think it's funny until you think of the creator of the universe looking down and saying, I hate humanity, and the first person he sees is me. Leprosy. Right? Listen to me. The holiness of God is so wonderful because it is expressed by those five words. I am who I am. I cannot change. I cannot quit being God. I cannot sin. I cannot lie. I cannot change my essence. You can trust in me. You can believe in me. I will do what I promise to do. I am who I am. He cannot change. He cannot quit being God. So when Moses asked, what is your name? The answer to that question defines the very essence of who God is. He is holiness. And his holiness cannot change. His holiness will not change. And his essence will not change. I am who I am. It is summed up in those five words. Now, the final thing is this. Turn over one chapter to Exodus chapter 4. Moses is continuing to argue with God. Moses says, well, who am I? God says, it doesn't matter, I'll be with you. Moses says, well, what if they don't believe me? What's your name? God says, I am who I am. Finally, Moses says this in Exodus 4 and 1. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. And God said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And Moses reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. The first two questions Moses asked God. The final question, God asks Moses. And God says to Moses, what is that in your hand? The final question is, what is that in your hand? Moses says, it's just an ordinary shepherd's staff. It's just an ordinary piece of wood that I found in the desert that I carved and fashioned. I use it to keep the sheep in line. It has a hook on one end. I can grab the sheep and pull them back from the edge of the cliff. I use the other end to pull them, get them going, move them in that direction, to guide them in that direction. But he says, God is nothing special. It's nothing extraordinary. It's nothing wonderful. It is simply an ordinary shepherd's staff. This is what so many of us again believe. First of all, as I said, we believe that we have to manufacture the holiness ourselves. The second thing that we believe is at the end of this, we believe the lie that the devil has told us about ourselves. He says to us over and over again, you're nothing special. You'll never accomplish anything. Think about all the stuff you've done. Think about your past. Think about the mistakes you've made. Think about the sins that you've committed. Think about what you were doing just last night. And now you're in your church trying to act holy, and you're trying to trick all these people. The devil comes and says, who do you think you are? You are ordinary, regular. There is nothing special about you. You will never be holy. You will never attain holiness. You will never do anything because you are nothing. You will never do anything because you are nothing. You have no future. You have no destiny. God says over and over again, I use the ordinary to accomplish the extraordinary. Over and over and over. You remember, Jesus came. The disciples said, how are we going to feed all these people, Jesus? Jesus says, I don't know. What do you got? He said, we got nothing but some bread and some fish. And Jesus says, tell them to sit down. And I will hear. Jesus takes our ordinary and works the miraculous if we offer it to him. Remember in the Old Testament too, Elijah and the widow. Remember he says to her, what's in your house? She says, I don't have anything in the house but some oil. He says, that's all you need. And remember God works the miracle, the oil never ceases, and she pours it in all the containers. The same thing is this. God says to Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, it is nothing other than an ordinary shepherd's staff. And God says, be able to, I'm going to use it. Once I've used it, it's going to be different. Look over, if you will, the same chapter to verse 19. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but this is an extraordinary thing. Exodus 4 and 19. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go, return to Egypt. For all the men who sought your life are dead. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. I want you to leave that verse up there. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Once the shepherd's staff has been used, it is no longer ordinary and regular. It becomes supernatural and extraordinary in the hands of a supernatural and extraordinary God. I am tired of all of us, myself included, believing the lie that the world and Satan continues to put on us, which is that we have no value and no destiny and no purpose. Instead, it is no longer a shepherd's staff. Look at that. And Moses took the rod of God. You are no longer just a man. You are the man of God. You are no longer just a woman. You are a woman of God. We are no longer just people. We are the children of God. We have to get a hold of that in holiness. That once God has filled us, we can do extraordinary things. My dad mentioned this on Wednesday night. So for those of you who were here, I hesitate to go back to it, but it talks about the point perfectly. Talking about the burning bush that appeared, the fire in the burning bush. Was that an ordinary bush that was on the side of the mountain? Yes. There's nothing extraordinary about the bush. But then when the fire of God's holiness came and burned the bush, but it was not consumed. Remember, the fire is burning, but the bush is not on fire. And that's the holiness of God. Now the question is, when the fire leaves, is the bush still there? Yes. Is the bush burned? No. But my question is, are there any bugs left on the bush? No. All the parasites, all the bugs, all the stuff has been burned away by the holiness of God Almighty. And that's the same way with us. It's no longer the shepherd's staff. It is the rod of God. You are no longer just some guy. You are the man of God. You are no longer just some single mom. You are the woman of God. You have been called. You've been given a destiny and a purpose. That's the beautiful, wonderful, amazing thing about the holiness of God, is that once the holiness touches us, we are changed never to be the same. Never to be the same. We are different. We are different. That is the essence of holiness. What is that in your hand? Whatever that thing is that you have, whatever that gift, that talent is, it may seem ordinary, and it may seem normal, and nothing to you. It is given to God. It becomes the rod of God with which Moses accomplishes the miracles. That's the same staff that he holds over the Red Sea and parts the ocean. It's the same staff that he hits the rock and water gushes out. It's the same staff. That is who each and every one of us is. I don't want you to lose this. The holiness of God transforms you. The holiness of God transforms you. You are different. You are different. I thought about a million ways to close this sermon. Because I thought about all these different people and their stories that I would tell. Finding one particular story that would stand out and resonate. So I would talk about this person who was, in jail. They got saved, redeemed, and got rock them out, and now God is using them. Talking about the rock. Or I thought I would use a story of this person, or that person. Here's the thing, though. That should be everybody's story. That should be all of our stories. I really, really, really struggled with how to close this message because what I could do is just tell everybody's story in here. I could tell my story, who I was. When the holiness of God touches you, you become different. You're no longer what you thought you were. You are the person of God. I could tell you stories about Christians I've met in Africa and Southeast Asia. Tell you stories about people that have pastored, that have changed their lives and transformed their existence. But I don't have enough time, and I would want this to be applicable to where we are. That's why this is how I want to close. Who are you? Who are you? What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to be? What is God calling you to be about? What is God calling you to be? The thin place of holiness is, yes, we encounter holiness, but then we encounter a purpose and a destiny. What is that in your hand? What is that thing that you have? What is that talent? What is that gift? What is that purpose? What is that destiny? Because it's no longer just your talent. It is now the talent of God. It is the gift of God. It's the purpose of God. It's the destiny of God. I want to make this applicable to you. Holiness changes us, but it also gives us a purpose and a destiny. It makes us the blank of God, whatever that is. That's what it turns us into. That's what it transforms us into. So here's how I'm going to close. Very simply, I'm going to ask the musicians and the singers to return to the stage if they would. This is what we're going to do, as we have done every single week of 10 Places, and we will continue. There's communion on either table over here. The communion is open and available if you want to come forward and get the elements and take them at your seat, if you want to come up here and pray. You want to receive communion as a family, whatever it is you want to do. But I want you to take a moment and encounter the thin place of holiness. Encounter the thin place of holiness this morning. It is, you cannot do this on your own. When Moses says to God, "Who am I?" The first step in this is you cannot manufacture holiness through your actions. Holiness is given to us by God. Take communion. Receive what God wants to give us through communion. Let me read to you. I haven't done this every week. Let me read to you what Jesus says to the disciples at the end of Matthew. Jesus says this. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." Holiness cannot be manufactured. Holiness can only be brought about by giving ourselves to God. I encourage you, as we sing these songs, as we try to create the thin place, as we tarry in the presence of God, give your life to God this morning. Who are you? God doesn't care. And it doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is God in you. Who are you? It's not the question you should even be asking. The question, the key to attaining holiness is, who is God in me? Are you allowing Him to work? Are you allowing Him to speak? Are you allowing Him to guide you? Are you allowing Him to speak to you and to move you? Who is God in you? Communion is a great place to start with that. You focus on what He did for us. Allow His holiness to fill you this morning. Allow His holiness to fill you. You shall be holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy. He's not condemning us. He is saying, if you will simply be more like me, I will help you be more holy. That is not a statement of condemnation. He is saying, I wouldn't have told you to be more holy if you couldn't do it. It's not a statement of condemnation. It is a statement of, allow me to enter your life. Be more like me. Allow God's holy presence to fill you this morning. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. As the musicians sing, play, let's just take some time. Receive communion, pray, come to the front, pray, whatever you want to do. But encounter the thin place of holiness this morning. God, I ask that you would be with us, bless us, keep us. God, help us to encounter the thin place of holiness. It's not about who we are. It's about who you are. You told us, I am who I am. You will never change. You will never quit being God. You will never not be holy. God, fill us with your holiness this morning. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ah! Almighty, great I am. into your heart, loving the world and hating the dark. I want to see tribals living again, singing as one, hallelujah. Holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am. Done beside me, God Almighty, great I am. Of your name, King of Majesty. There is no God in hell, or anything who can stand. He brought my power, and I can't stop.
I will not change. I will not lie to you. I will not sin. I will not stop loving you. I will not change my character and my nature. And my nature and my character is grace and love and mercy and forgiveness. The greatest God works. The greatest God works in the Bible. I am who I am. You can trust me. You can depend on him. He will never leave you or abandon you. He will never forsake you in the darkest caves, in the deepest valleys. I am who I am. I am who I am. Let's take just one more moment and let's worship the great I am this morning. I am who I am.
The mountain shake before him. The demons run and live away. At the mention of your name, King of man to its feet. There is no cloud in heaven. Only evil can stand. Even the cloud of God has fled.
Go ahead. Yeah.